It's your good friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Recording in progress.
I am recording on. I'm trying to be Jeff Goldblum. Is that working for you? I am.
It would. It would work. It would work for me if you were a better impressionist.
What if we gave the aliens a cold?
Is that? That's from War of the Worlds.
No, it's from Independence Day.
I think they shot a torpedo like straight down the throat of the mothership in Independence
No,
Day.
No, it had a computer virus on it.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
What if we... I don't know. I briefly had a Jeff Goldblum.
They do shoot the mothership like right down the gullet, though. I remember
they shoot
scene.
It right down the gullet, yeah.
Is it Randy Quaid?
Yeah, but it's with the computer virus.
I get it, Jack.
Yeah.
I understand what it's with.
Yeah.
So, let's talk.
Yeah, we're talking.
Let's talk, Jack.
We've got to say it. Yeah.
We've got to say it. If you're a patron.
If you're a patron of the arts.
Of our Patreon.
Yeah.
You will have heard that Jack and I both had a pretty raging case of podcast mania.
Yeah, we got really...
last week.
Just chills up and down all of our body, and we had to quarantine for 10 days.
Yeah. And yeah. Both of us were very, very ill.
Yeah.
I have conquered it.
Yeah, you've conquered it.
Completely.
Crushed
just completely
it.
Eradicated
it's
it from
nothing
my system.
To you.
I feel like stronger than I ever have before.
Yeah, you look stronger and more imposing.
100% recovered. You still look and sound as he takes a... big swig of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Yeah.
That's going to help. Going to help get you over
it
the
hasn't
hump.
Been so far.
Yeah. You're still feeling pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, pretty bad. But I'm like, folks out there who have this, get at
yeah.
me.
Podcast mania is what...
No, not podcast mania. But yeah. I haven't met that many people who have this particular thing that I have. But I'm sure they're out there. It must be some quirk like of me being a control freak or something. But I'm a sick denier.
Yeah, you've always been a sick denier.
So if I am sick, I will deny it until I'm better. And then I'll be like, in retrospect, I was sick.
Yeah.
So that's been tough given the many positive tests I've had for podcast mania and having to take my temperature and having like pretty high fever.
Yeah. Well, and all the other sort of symptoms of podcast.
So it's
fever,
hard to deny it, but I'm finding ways. Like today, for instance, you know, I'm not positive for podcast mania anymore. So I'm pretending that I'm fine, but I'm fucking not.
No.
Yeah, clearly
it sticks
not.
With you.
Yeah. Anyway.
It sticks with you. You got to ride the derecho.
Yeah, you got to ride it.
I hope none of you get it. Even if you were triple vaccinated against podcast mania like I was, it still isn't a fun experience.
Yeah.
And I blame the entire state of Utah for giving it to both me and Jack, who had the fortune of seeing one another.
Yeah.
Faccia. What do you say? Faccia e faccia?
You wouldn't say that. Absolutely
what did
not.
You? What do you? You used to say something.
Volte facce, mano e mano.
You used to say facce.
I would not have said that.
How do you say two in Italian?
Al.
Facce al facce.
Sure. That's terrible. I blame my child's school, honestly.
Yeah. You think it's just a coincidence that you and I were riding in a car for 4.5 hours and 2 days later I tested positive and 1 day later you tested positive?
I mean, not to like get into it too much on this fun podcast, but I think it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's just everywhere.
We watched a
Jack,
show. Yes.
We read a video novel.
Yes.
2001.
Very romantic.
Hell of a film. I have something to say about the film we watched, which is Cain Leopold. Hello, my name is Tanner Greenring.
Hello,
this
my
is
name is
Strange
Jack
Bedfellows. We read romance books and watch romance movies. And this week we watched 2001's Cain Leopold.
Yeah. The last great movie.
I think this movie was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very fun romantic comedy on par with You've Got Mail, with
some of the classics.
Yeah. What are some of the other ones that we watched?
Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's Cyril up to?
He's making a lot of noise. It's just going to pick up.
Yeah. I think that this movie hasn't made it into the sort of cultural
zeitgeist,
but not the current zeit. Like,
not the current zeit.
The zeit of like 2001.
Yeah.
I suspect I know why. And it's because there's a few sort of like challenging depictions of it's like it's about 30% edgier than You've Got Mail. And it's because it came out in 2001 instead of 1998.
It's the last great movie. It's my contention after watching this is it's the last great movie.
Yeah.
This is the last one. Did this come out after The Matrix?
Let's see. Caton Leopold was...
I think it must have.
Because if you're right, if this is the last great movie, of course it would have come out after The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm wrong, then I'm probably super wrong. But I think this is the last great movie that they did.
This is December 25th, 2001, so it's right in that juicy three-month period right after 9/11 where we're all just still sort of like watching the news, feeling really bad about the world. And then James Mangold.
Yeah.
Mangold.
What's that?
That's Lord of the Rings. The guy goes, man flesh.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for explaining it. It wouldn't have come across without the explanation.
The director, James Mangold, gave us this treat. Pulled us out of our, like, our national slump.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think we don't remember it anymore because...
It's the last great movie.
It was... We were too traumatized.
We were too traumatized. And it was the last good one that they did.
Yeah.
And it's Meg, of course. And
Meg. Oh, should we do... I had an idea for a segment.
Okay.
That we should maybe do at the top of every episode.
Okay, perfect.
Or at least the movie episodes.
Yeah, I like it.
It's called Dramatis...
Personae.
Dramatis Personae.
Okay, I like that.
And I think we should probably just... Because we always mess up the names, right?
Let's go through. Can I say the first one, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say... Because I've been wanting to say this to you for a while, and I assume everybody says this. Riddle me this. Does everybody say this, or is it just me?
Yeah.
Huge Ackman.
Huge Ackman.
Huge Ackman.
Whoa, check out the Ackman on that guy.
Whoa.
Fucking
huge. Huge Ackman.
Yeah, no, you're not the only one who says it, because now I'm going to start saying it.
Because you're saying it now.
I will start, now.
It's hard not to say it. Whenever I see a huge Ackman movie, I think, wow, that's a huge Ackman.
Yeah.
That's huge Ackman.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's hard to say it any other kind of way once you start saying huge Ackman.
Huge Ackman's in the movie, Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine
He plays
himself.
Leopold.
He plays a handsome duke.
This is sort of an echo through time. This is like, this movie is the character in that one Ray Bradbury story who gets out of the time machine and steps on the butterfly.
Okay.
Because it's set in motion, this series of events that 8 years later would see Hugh Jackman and Liev Schreiber on screen together.
Fighting
again.
As Clawman.
Yeah, as Clawman in... Yeah. X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, very bad.
Where Huge Ackman plays Wolverine and Liev Schreiber plays...
Sabretooth.
Sabretooth.
And even I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
So what a moment this was, huh?
Whoever Resonates. Directed X-Men Ripples. Origins Wolverine had watched Kate and Leopold.
Yeah,
and
he saw that magnetism. Whew, saw that energy
there's
between
something
them.
There. The there crackle. Was something there. Huh? Yeah. Woo. What if we gave these guys claws?
So those are the two main characters.
Yeah. Huge Ackman.
Leopold and Stuart.
And Stuart.
Played by Huge Ackman by and Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber.
And then there's kind of a secondary cast.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan, you know, from
City of Angels.
She's around.
Yeah. And
Bradley
of course,
Whitford.
What's his name from West Wing?
Bradley Whitford.
I know, but what's his name? Josh Lyman.
Oh, Josh Lyman. Yeah.
Josh Lyman is in this one at his Josh Lymaniest.
Playing, well, not really, because Josh Lyman was always a character of like good intent.
I think this guy has good intent.
Her boss, JJ, is sort of a creep.
He's sort of a creep, but I think the movie about her boss, JJ, would work.
I think the movie about her boss, JJ, would be a lot like the Joker, the latest Joker film. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. He's got some issues. So we've got Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Bradley Whitford and Meg Ryan
is all in this.
Yep.
And it's time traveling Dukes.
It's time traveling Dukes, isn't it, Jack? Should we bring in the boys?
Let's bring in the boys, I think, because it's a time travel movie, and we need to bring in the boys.
Let me turn on the time.
Yeah.
What technology do we use to bring them in?
It's the same thing they have in Time Cop. It's like a train, kind of.
Right. It's like a okay.
Yeah.
Let's get the train going.
Yeah. Okay. There. Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa, Elmer. I did not expect to see you again so soon.
I'm Elmer?
You're Elmer.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah. It's me, Elmer Megabyte.
Yeah, and it's me, Jeff Peabody.
Yeah, I'm a time cop.
I'm a time cop, as you know.
Investigate time crimes.
Yeah.
This movie is chock full of time crimes.
Yeah.
Do we want to start getting into it now?
Yeah, I think we should, but can we have a little small talk first?
Oh, sure.
Elmer, because I was going to say to you, do you know this about me? I listen to the soundtrack of Breakfast at Tiffany's every night until midnight, exactly. And then I turn my lights off. Is that sweet?
Do you hear that, Leopold? Do you hear that music?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No.
No.
Not yet.
You see that guy down there with the light on?
Mm-hmm.
He listens to the soundtrack of Breakfast at Tiffany's every night until exactly midnight. And then he turns his light off, goes to sleep.
Well, I think, what's the backstory?
Yeah, that's kind of what I guess I was wondering.
Oh, do you want me to go back in time and see what the backstory is?
Every single night. Meg Ryan thinks it's sweet. There's a scene in this. Yeah.
1 second.
You're back?
No, I just traveled to the past to see what the backstory was.
Yeah,
it's pretty
why
gross.
Is that? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's sort of like a Pavlovian thing, you know? Like something that felt nice happened to him while he was listening to the soundtrack
to Breakfast. He doesn't even watch I don't even watch the movie. So Meg in this film that we're in, right?
We're in the movie.
Traditionally, that's what happens with us.
Yep. Yep.
Meg watches me and Hugh watch me doing that. But it's supposed to be sweet.
Right. Should we describe the movie?
You want us to describe the movie? I think we're just here to kind of pick apart paradoxes.
Oh, okay.
We're time cops.
So we don't even describe the movie anymore.
Somebody should. So somebody should.
I'll describe.
Okay.
So it's not a movie to me.
Yeah.
Elmer Megabyte.
Yeah. It's your life.
It's history,
just another thing that you've leapt
it's
into.
It's something I can go back and leap into anytime I want and just watch. You know, it's like watching what did they say in Blade Runner? The something
time to die, he says.
Dawn over
time
the...
to die. Oh, have you ever seen that something over the something? And then he says, time to die.
Time to die.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like that. Just a couple guys. Yes.
Would like to start by saying that I would like to start with a quick segment if I can.
Okay, perfect.
And I'm borrowing this from
And we're time cops. Have we said that enough to folks?
Yeah, we're time cops. We're here.
And you'll remember us from previous. We've been in Somewhere in Time. We're in that. Look at the IMDb page.
We'll be around anytime there's any kind of time crime that happens.
The famous time travel film.
Yeah.
The Lake House. That was us. Was there watching everybody. And now it's here. We're in this one. And we're here to resolve time paradoxes. And there's a lot in this one.
It's 18 something something, 18 yes. XX to borrow a term of art from the Mega Man games.
Yeah, 1856.
And I am standing in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
Forget about it.
Yeah, people don't know this about Brooklyn, but it was around in 18 XX.
And Sabretooth is there.
Sabretooth is there.
And Wolverine is there.
Yeah.
And I'm there.
Yeah. Am I there?
And you can be there.
Yeah. Can I be just watching the guy who's like talking about how big the monument is?
Well, that's the segment I want to do, Jack, we're all here. We're all witnessing the sort of unveiling of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes.
And I want to do a quick girth check.
Okay, girth check.
Because the man who's sort of unveiling this monument
mm-hmm.
to mankind's ingenuity
yeah.
says at the 28 minute and 56 second mark,
"The world has changed all around it, but Roebling's erection still stands."
Yeah.
And it makes funny. Sabretooth laugh.
Sabretooth loves that shit.
Which Wolverine takes note of.
And Wolverine's like, why would this guy laugh at that? He must be from the future.
Yeah, he must be from the future where that means
boners.
A boner, which is what we're here to discuss.
Yes.
I looked it up. The Brooklyn Bridge is 127 feet tall, so
holy shit.
Roebling's erection is absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
We're cold, yeah. objective,
yeah.
Bingus butchers.
Yeah.
But even I have to like sort of yeah. drop my glasses Whoa. And be like, what?
Yeah. My monocle at popped all the way out.
Yeah.
What about we could call her boner pills that.
Roebling's erection?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's who's boner pills? Wait, who's boner pills?
Jeff and Elmer's boner pills.
Right. I forgot we have boner pills.
Yeah.
That makes our characters even richer. And we're time cops.
Yeah. Well, and we should say to folks who are new listeners, the reason that Jeff and Elmer keep coming back is because they're such beloved characters that everyone always talks about.
Yeah, every time we do a Jeff and Elmer episode, we get everyone's so much. Like, yeah. Everyone's always tweeting at us and putting in like the Facebook group. Like, we love Jeff and Elmer.
We love
they're
Jeff
our favorites.
And Elmer. Do more of that, they say.
Elmer Megabyte.
Everyone says it. Yeah.
We do it because it's our fucking responsibility,
yeah,
Jack.
It's our
this
responsibility.
Movie was full of paradoxes.
Paradoxes. Not least that the elevators disappear.
Well, they sort of acknowledge that, Jack.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of the film. Okay, so we're going through the movie.
We're describing the film. So Wolverine
hunts yeah. Sabretooth.
Yes.
To the top of the Brooklyn Bridge, where Sabretooth jumps off
yeah.
with Wolverine in tow.
And Wolverine it turns out follows that
they, him. Yeah, they jump through a
portal.
Time portal.
Yes.
An anomaly, as we call it in the time cop business.
Yes. To now.
To now. Well, yeah. to 2001.
Right.
And it's fish out of water story.
Now
here's
it's
this,
fish out
here's
of water
this
story.
Duke, this handsome Duke.
What if a Duke, but it's 2001?
Experiencing the world of 2001 New York. He goes outside chasing down a dog and he sees three black men and two Hasidic men and a woman on rollerblades.
Yeah.
He's
and
like,
what does he say?
What?
And they handle that fairly well?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not what I'm used to.
He thought it was great.
Yeah.
The movie handled sort of just like the the ogling at
he's surprisingly
people
progressive
of different backgrounds.
For someone from 18XX.
He is. This guy, his name is Leopold, as we covered in the dramatic personae. And he invents the elevator eventually.
He has invented the elevator. And so this is our first
major paradox.
So
when he blips
paradox.
Through time,
yeah.
the elevator that Kate is riding sort of like shudders.
Right.
And they discover the next day that all of the elevators
all
in
the
New
elevators
York City have
gone.
Stopped working.
They haul our furniture and cradle our children, but this morning, from the Battery to the Bronx, elevators have mysteriously
Okay, so let me stop you there.
So it's actually
not
a paradox.
I'm not sure we've accurately described exactly what happens, just for the listener.
That's accurate.
Duke Leopold will go on to invent the elevator in his own time, but because he has been pulled out of his time before he invented the elevator,
it's
in this future,
Schrodinger's
everything
elevator.
Is exactly the same, except there's no elevators, and Sabretooth.
Right.
Does falls. Step down into an elevator shaft, and I thought died too, but was just very sick from dying.
Yeah,
from
and then is committed because he's like, no, I have to get back home. There's because
of time travel.
19th century Duke and living in my house.
But so I guess are we as time cops comfortable with the idea that somebody did go ahead and invent the elevator shaft and then installed it in everything, even though
tight.
The elevator hadn't been invented?
It's airtight. It's not okay. a paradox.
Yeah, okay. That's not a paradox.
I'm
okay.
looking for a way into this case, Jack. I'm looking for a way into this movie.
You think it's watertight?
I think it's watertight.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted that to be it, but they acknowledged it. They said, yeah, the elevators aren't working.
their elevators just don't work. No one invented it. The shafts are here.
Has invented
the buttons
it.
Are here.
Someone has invented it, Jack.
Yeah.
And his name is Duke Leopold. I think it's watertight.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, I don't think that's our way in.
We'll check that one off. So what we do, folks, Jeff and Elmer, your favorite characters, the one everyone's always tweeting us about.
Yeah.
We figure out who did the time crimes, and then we neutralize them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one we think is not against the rules at all. It's not a paradox. Inventor of elevator, zaps to the future, elevators anymore. That's fine.
Well, Jack, I think you're jumping the gun, and I thought you were a qualified time cop here, but he goes back to his time.
He does go back.
He has time to invent elevators again.
Right. And then they come back.
Yeah. Okay.
So what happens next? Fish out of water. So Liev Schreiber.
Sabretooth.
Sabretooth is ex-boyfriend of
Jack,
Meg Ryan. Okay.
Sorry, Jack. Not Jack. Jeff.
Yeah.
I can't find a way in, man.
You think there's nothing for us. We should go. You think we should get out of here?
I think this one's got the best of us.
It's a perfect time travel movie.
I think you should hand it back over to...
Okay.
Let's get back in our time train.
Yeah.
Let's go to... Ooh, I know. Let's go to when the 69 was first invented.
Sex okay.
All right. Choo-choo! Whoa!
Tanner.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Those guys, man, they're not popular on the podcast.
We haven't gotten any sort of signal that they're popular.
We haven't been able to get any traction from them, but they
come and go pretty often.
Coming back, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say the film, what happens?
Sure. Yeah, whatever Elmer didn't cover.
The Sabretooth was the boyfriend of Meg Ryan, but he's not anymore.
Yeah, but they live up and downstairs from one another.
And in the ultimate, and I'm not going to say the word, okay, let me just say this. I'm not going to say the word because it's like only gross people say it, so I'm not going to say it, and I'm not a gross person. But okay. In the ultimate act of self-abnegation for a boyfriend.
That's the word?
No, I'm not saying the word. I'm kind of skirting around it. He, in the ultimate act of personal boyfriend related humiliation. Yeah. He goes back in time and brings back an even handsomer boyfriend to be the boyfriend of his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. And he's like best buds with him.
That's what
actually
the
movie he's not.
Is.
It's her brother.
Yeah.
Becomes his best friend.
And he even at the end of the film, he's like, that's why I like everything. He's like, the universe rhymes with Spooniverse. And the reason that I was your boyfriend is so that I could do this for you and bring a better boyfriend.
Just listen to me for a second, okay, please? I'm sorry I was a lousy boyfriend.
I'm sorry I let you down. I know all you wanted was someone you could trust, someone you could believe in, and I'm sorry
I couldn't.
No, Kate, just listen to me, okay? Please. Maybe we weren't such a waste of time after all. I mean, maybe there's a reason I was your guy.
What are you talking about?
Maybe I was supposed to help you find your guy. Leopold.
Yeah, so that I could do this ultimate subjugation.
Personal subjugation.
Humiliation
of a man.
Personal subjugation.
Sort of deliberately found a different boyfriend for the girlfriend.
It's the ultimate.
Yeah. Act of that.
Act of.
Kind of thing of that. What that is. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Brecken,
he does. Yeah.
We forgot someone in the top, at the top.
We forgot.
Brecken
Meyer.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Her brother, Charlie.
Her brother is the guy from something. Yes, he's a guy from something.
He's in a lot of things from the 90s. I think he was in Franklin and Bash. He played Bash opposite to Franklin.
Perfect.
Who for some reason I thought was played by our personal friend Mark Feuerstein, but he wasn't.
Okay, great.
Anyway, he was Jared Franklin in Franklin and Bash.
And he's the brother. And
he's the brother, yep.
What happens? Kate falls in love with Leopold.
And that's part of the USA universe, by the way.
They're great.
Franklin and Bash.
Great. It's on USA. Kate falls in love with him pretty quickly, right?
Well, he's a fucking hunk.
He's a very handsome hunk.
And he's so polite.
And
she's this jaded 2001 ad exec. She's not used to this kind of sincerity. She's not used to this kind of positive attention.
Could I run a theory by you? And this is a really tenuous theory because I don't know anything about actors or anything. So it's probably wrong. I know that about you. Yeah. But this film, I don't know what huge Ackman was up to before this film came out, but I think that it is the case that people didn't realize that huge Ackman, all he really wanted to do was musical theater.
Yeah.
Until later.
Hey, ripped up hunk, come be a fucking hunk and come be fucking Wolverine. Yeah. And he's like, I just want to be in theater, like musical theater.
Yeah. But this is him.
Shut up, hunk.
Somehow this hunk ended up being able to do that in this. He was like, great. I accept this film because I can just do musical theater. I mean, he doesn't sing, but he's like acts like he's the leading man in My Fair Lady or something.
What a run he is on, Jack.
Yeah.
2000, X-Men.
Okay.
2001, Swordfish. 2001, Kate and Leopold. 2003, X2, X-Men United.
Wow. He's just
2004, Van Helsing.
Yeah, okay.
What a run. We are getting peak.
He's so handsome. He seems to be having a good time. He doesn't, and if I can critique his acting, he doesn't seem to actually be in love with Meg Ryan.
I think he is. He's sort of just old-timey in love with her. But he like wanders onto...
He's constantly like petting her shoulder. There's a lot of gently petting her shoulder. Yeah, I guess
that should be right up your alley, Mr. Britt.
Yeah, I like that.
He sort of follows her around, not knowing what else to do with himself, because Sabretooth is in the hospital, and he is, you know, from 1876. So
yeah,
he joins her at her job as a, I guess, like cast talent agent for a commercial company.
Right. So this is important. And it's the origin story of an ad spot that you and I like to do.
This movie sent a ripple through the Butterverse.
Yeah.
Certainly. Because he's sort of overheard on set doing his British accent. And they're like, wow, this guy can sell some fucking butter.
This guy should sell some butter.
Yeah.
And it's famous. He says, fresh creamery butter.
Fresh creamery butter. Is there anything more comforting?
And he says it really well.
Yeah. And then at 46:25, after he says the really good line, he walks over to Kate and her boss, Josh Lyman, and Josh Lyman says,
nice work, Mr. Margaret.
Yeah. And that's from our ads, and we should say that.
But this is 2001. This is before he's mean.
Yeah, this is before he's mean. It's just Mr. Margaret. It's before he got jaded. Yeah.
We'll explain in case you skip the ads. We pretty regularly do ads for an online therapy portal.
Yeah.
That are mostly butter themed.
Yeah.
And we've invented a whole ecosystem around butter themed superheroes. And the villain of the entire series is the mean Mr. Margarine.
Yeah. And it's from this movie, it turns out.
It turns out it's from this movie. Yeah.
But so there's a famous scene in this film where huge Ackman, they're like, you're great. You're the spokesman for this fresh creamery butter. And then he films the ad and crushes it.
Yeah.
And then he tastes the butter as the final take. And he's like, this is disgusting. I no longer can say this. It's a lie.
Excuse me. Is this an actual sample of Farmer's Bounty?
Yeah. Why?
This tastes like saddle soap.
Well, it's not really your concern now, is it?
Is this correct? Is this
not my concern. This product tastes like raw suet. How is that not my concern?
Hey, pal, it's a paycheck.
Okay,
paycheck.
Wait a minute.
This is an outrage.
Don't worry about the taste. Come back. We need another shot.
How come he doesn't get, like, smallpox or, like, polio?
Because it's eradicated.
But, like, isn't he exposed to all sorts of, like, new and dangerous, like,
pathogens? Oh, yeah. He probably fucking dropped dead of the Spanish flu in a fucking
even
second.
Even eating that margarine is probably going to be a pretty big shock to his system, right?
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
He's really lucky he survived 2001.
Yeah.
Plus, you know,
We were all in such a bad mood.
So.
Yeah. But so he doesn't like the butter. He won't do the ad. It's disgusting to him.
Do you want me to read? That was actually one of my burns, that moment.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of burns, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just say it. We don't have to intro the burn of the week, unless you want to.
Burn of the week.
At the 1 hour, 29 minute mark, 23 yeah. second mark, Leopold says,
"The problem is that for no reason beyond my affection for you, I find myself peddling pond scum to an unsuspecting public."
Yeah.
And Kate says,
"Hey, listen, you know, the stakes are very high for me here. You can't just quit because..."
And Leopold interrupts her and says,
"Yes, I can. Like, and so can you. When one finds oneself participating in an endeavor entirely without merit, one withdraws."
And it's a burn on marketing.
It's a burn. It is a burn on marketing.
The entire marketing industry.
Yeah.
It's, let me see, endeavor entirely without merit.
Yep.
According to...
That's tough.
Wolverine.
That's a tough hit.
Yeah.
That's a tough hit. Yeah.
I feel like maybe that was just sort of the mood in 2001. We were all just like over it, you know? We're just like, no, we hate ads.
I wish we had a Duke.
Yeah, I wish we had a Duke.
A Duke. But he was like the only... I'm sure everyone else in his time would have been fine with all that stuff because they seem like... liars and social climbers. It's not just that he's a duke. He's just duke.
Yeah. He won't give in to his uncle's demands to marry Kristen Schaal.
Yeah. Yeah. I would.
Yeah.
I would give in to my uncle's demands to marry Kristen Schaal. She's funny in this and she doesn't even have a fucking line.
Yeah, she is really funny.
She's just like, just with her like weird like expressions. She makes a very, very minor role totally work.
That's another one we missed at the top of the episode.
Yeah, sorry. Kristen Schaal's in this. Can I say my burn?
Yeah.
And then I guess we'll probably take a break. It's at the 15-minute mark. Meg Ryan is talking to Sabretooth about how they used to date and it's good that they broke up. And she says to him,
"You know what, Stuart? I blew my best years on you."
And then Sabretooth says,
"Those were your best?"
That's good.
That's funny. Yep. That's a good burn.
I have one more burn. Should I just say it?
Yeah, we're doing burn.
And then go to
burn.
Break?
Yeah. Perfect.
So JJ, her boss, takes Kate out to dinner because she's expecting a big promotion. So she thinks he's taking her out to like offer her a promotion.
Yeah.
He takes her out to go out with her. He wants to do debonkey with her.
Yes.
And Leopold and Charlie, her brother, interrupt the dinner and end up eating with them. And it becomes clear to Leopold what's happening.
Yeah.
And Bradley Whitford says,
"I invited Kate to the Met next week. She's never been. Patron is singing Andre and she turned me down. Can you explain that, Leopold?"
And Leopold says,
"Well, poem is one of man's great achievements and should not be missed. But perhaps Kate resists on moral grounds."
And Josh Lyman says,
"How so?"
And Leopold says,
"Well, some feel that to court a woman in one's employ is nothing more than a serpentine effort to transform a lady to a whore."
And Josh Lyman says,
"The Duke of Margarine thinks me a serpent."
And
Leopold says,
"No, not a serpent. That's too grand a word. Simply a braggart and a cad. Knows less French than I, if that's possible."
It's pretty good. It's a burn on Josh Lyman.
Yeah, for not knowing enough French.
Also a pretty good burn on France, because he's just like, it's embarrassing how little French you know, and that's coming from a guy who knows no French.
No
and,
fucking like, French.
Proudly knows no French.
Yeah, take that, fucking France.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, we'll call those our burns, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. I've got some, I found some fun reviews of this film.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey, everybody. It's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows. Tanner?
Yeah.
They're gone, right, Jeff and Elmer? They're gone, right? I don't see them.
I think the thing about their, like, time train...
Yeah.
Is they can essentially come and go as they please.
It's such a problem for the podcast, because it doesn't seem like anyone...
It's a problem
really
for my fucking life,
...likes
man.
Them. Yeah. Okay, because I was thinking you and I could just do a normal segment.
You'd just be like, they have no concept of time, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, every now and then I'll just hear the stupid train whistle at, like, 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
Leave me alone. I'm not recording right now. I can't give you a platform.
Okay, well, it's just you and me, and so I think we should do our hit segment. It's called On the One Hand.
Yeah.
And I actually need Arbiter Tanner. You can...
So it's not you and me.
Yeah, you can go.
Specifically not you and me. I have to leave.
Just take five.
Yeah, fine. Oh, Jack Shepard.
Arbiter Tanner.
So good to see you again.
You're scarier than normal.
I'm feeling so fired up about this movie. It's the last great movie.
Yeah, it's the last good one they did.
And also, I'm here to dispense arbitration over these Rotten Tomatoes reviewers.
Yeah, it's a hot segment where I found some Rotten Tomatoes reviews that kind of run the gamut of positive to negative, and Arbiter Tanner is going to decide who's right here, who's got the right of it.
And whoever I agree with,
yeah,
showered in kisses,
yeah. And whoever he doesn't agree with, this is where it gets nasty. No kisses. It's
denied.
Affirming life.
Kisses. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I got. Let me look. I've got three five-star reviews.
Okay.
And one half star reviews. They're all very short.
Okay.
Very short. I really went
no
all
on
the
fence hands this week.
There's no on the fence hands. No one is on the fence about this movie. Like, I had to trawl through page after page after page of reviews of people being like, Hugh Jackman is so hot. And those were both 1-star and 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
people be like, and this I gets think, 5
honestly,
stars for me.
I've yeah. clicked around the Rotten Tomatoes reviews a little bit. I think the star system is completely arbitrary. I think people just think it means like, oh, this is where I get to, I click here and then I can say how hot Hugh Jackman is.
Yeah. Okay. So on the one hand,
yep.
5 stars from Louis M on October 9th.
The Marquis
de Sade, 2018. Here's what Louis M says on October 9th, 2018. You ready?
Marquis Louis-Joseph de Montcalm.
Okay.
French commander in 1730s.
Oh, so do you think that he jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge in 1730?
Yeah, I think he followed Wolverine, Sabretooth,
watched this movie, and then wrote
yeah,
a quick
and then
review.
Left this review. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. That actually changes how I think about it. Here's what he says. It's nice. He says this. 5 stars. Very nice romantic comedy. My wife loves it. I love it.
Yep. Let me see. Who's his wife? I don't think he was ever married.
Okay. Well,
so I guess
he must have found his Meg Ryan
in his time.
Yeah.
He wasn't married, but obviously in our time he is now married.
Okay. That's 1 5 star.
Never mind. Angelique Louis Talent du Boulet.
Okay. Well, she's don't tell her about his 2018 side piece. Okay, here I've got another one.
Yeah.
Adele.
I loved it.
You
my
loved
wife
it.
Loved it.
My wife loved it. That's yeah. good. That's nice. Here's what Adele says. Hello yeah. from the other side.
I said fire to the rain. Yeah. yeah.
Does she say hello from the other side?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a Stranger's thing. Stranger Things.
It's like a Stranger's sort of thing. Yeah. Okay. Here's what Adele says. 5 stars, May 14th, 2010. And I like this too. She goes, "Arg! I like it."
How many stars?
5.
Yeah.
She's like, she can't handle how much she likes it. She's like, "Ah! Yeah. I like it."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
I like that.
Nice.
It's expressive, you know? Yeah. It's emotive.
Yeah. She's like, fuck
exactly
it. I fucking like
feeling.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking like it.
Okay, we got one more on the one hand, and then things are going to take a turn.
Okay. I don't... Okay.
Here's what Chris J says on July 7th, 2000.
Chris Johannesson, our friend?
Yeah, it's our friend Chris Johannesson. Yeah. From Major Media Company.
Yeah.
He says... He gives it 5 stars, and he says this. I want to see the rest of it.
Why didn't you just watch all of it? Especially before coming and leaving a review. I guess, I mean, that's a sign of, like, him really loving it. He's like,
yeah,
a third of the way into the movie. He's like Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yeah.
I'm loving this.
Yeah. Well, there are a bunch of people who, on the other hand, and I didn't actually capture their reviews, but a bunch of people said, I only could get through a third of this movie, so I'm giving it a third of a star. That was a very common review.
Oh,
but Chris J had the opposite reaction.
The
where he's
first
like,
third of this
great.
Movie is the best part of this yeah. movie. It's all like sci-fi intrigue.
Yeah. yeah. Okay. On the other hand,
yep.
we've got 5 reviews here, all very, very short. Here's what Nathan T said on January 5th, 2010. And I think this is going to be of interest to us.
Okay.
1 star. This movie is demented.
Yeah.
They're related.
Oh, are they?
That's interesting.
Wait, do they cover that in the film?
I've read enough Rotten Tomatoes reviews of this film to know that a lot of people, not just Nathan T,
yeah,
think they're related. Let me just read Eric P's review before you go down a rabbit hole to kind of confirm this up for you. On December 20th, 2009, Eric P gives this film 1/2 a star, and he says, I'm told it's been edited to where they aren't related anymore. I guess
okay.
that's good.
Okay.
So
is this true?
Is this true? I think that there must have been an earlier version
Kate and Leopold
of the film
related in the original movie.
No, it's not Kate and Leopold. It's I think that Sabretooth is their great-great-grandson. And Sabretooth was her boyfriend before Leopold entered onto the scene.
Yes, that is correct. In subsequent released versions of the film, Stewart's special interest in Leo is unexplained. It turned out that Leopold became Stewart's ancestor by marrying Kate.
Okay, so that's fucked. So prior to this film, we don't see it, but Meg Ryan and Sabretooth were dating, and that's a great great grandmother and great great grandson situation. Though that this film
yeah.
has decided is fine to
right.
to exist.
Is that a paradox? Do we need to get?
It's not the paradox nature of it is not what's bothering me. But
yeah, no, it's not bothering me either. I'm just wondering about.
Oh, Jeff and Elmer.
Yeah.
yeah. Should we?
Just
if we
keep my
hushed,
head on a swivel,
because yeah, they could show up at any moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
So these guys know something.
Now, but that now, like, you've introduced new evidence.
Yeah.
That Arbiter Tanner is going to have to consider
yeah.
this.
Yeah. That's troubling. Yes. It
yeah.
certainly affects how I think about the film.
Yeah.
I've got three more one-star reviews. Can I read them?
Yeah, keep them coming.
Here's what Dan O, and I think we've met Dan O before.
Dan Oshinsky, our other friend from a major media company. Yeah.
There's what Dan O said on September 26, 2009. He gave this film one star, and he said, "This is fucking Logan?"
Yeah, man, can you believe it? What range?
Dan O settled down with a six-pack of MGD and some pizza to watch Logan and just, like, got his fucking wires crossed. Like,
cool, another one. And Sabretooth in this one, too? Rad.
So I feel for Dan O. I hope that Arbiter Tanner takes that into account, because he thought he was going to have a different kind of night than the one he had. And I think he must have had a bad one, because he gave it one star. He was like, this.
Imagine every other, like, he went and watched, like, that new Les Mis. Like, what the fuck?
What the hell? This is fucking Logan? On May 15th, 2008, Tiffany S. gave this film one star, and she says the following. It was cute, but I fell asleep both times.
That's Jack.
That's me.
That's Jack leaving a review.
Tiffany, it's terribly unfair. You watched it twice and both times found it cute. It is not the fault of the film.
Yeah. Watch it earlier in the day.
God.
All right.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Short one. It's kind of in the same vein as Tiffany S. This is Sarah H, and it's S-A-R-A, and then there's an H is her the first letter of her last name, which is like, just put the H in the fucking Sarah, okay?
Yeah. Just move it over.
Just move it over. Yeah. She gives it one star on February 6, 2008, and she says the following. Not bad, but I've seen it way too many times.
Yeah, one star.
One star.
That's fair, you know?
Like 10 times, and you're this like, you know, on the 10th viewing, it's not as
thrust
good as
itself
I thought.
Upon me too many times.
You know what? It's actually kind of an interesting point of a reviewer, where it's like, what am I doing here as a reviewer, other than expressing to the best of my ability how I felt about this film,
about this movie,
upon viewing it. And while I used to love this film so much so that I've watched it 15 times on this, my 16th viewing, it just didn't hold up.
Is that your closing argument for Arbiter Tanner?
That's my closing argument for Arbiter Tanner. Yeah.
I'm ready to pass judgment.
Okay, yeah.
I think all the one-star reviews are wrong, and I think they're all wrong for pig-headed reasons.
Yeah, pig-headed reasons.
And I withhold my love and my kisses from them. And I shower my kisses down upon the 2 5-star reviews you read, where the guy and his wife loved it, and then the woman couldn't contain her enthusiasm and joy.
Yeah, those are my favorite, Adele and Lewis. The French guy.
The French general and Adele from Music.
Very nice romantic comedy. My wife loves it. I love it. A lot of guys, a lot of fucking bros on these reviews were saying like, it's a chick flick, but I kind of liked it. But this guy's like, you know what? My wife loves it and I fucking love it too.
Yeah.
And we both fucking love it. And
case
it's
closed.
5 stars, case closed. Yeah. I like that.
Jack, I want to take you on a journey.
Okay, perfect.
A little thought experiment.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, can we be fashion geniuses for a second?
Absolutely.
Or I guess maybe we should invite. Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa! I wasn't expecting to be back here. I thought
Jeff,
we were going
to
the invention of the 69.
Well, we went and saw it. It was pretty gross.
Yeah, it wasn't as nice.
It was like cavemen.
As I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
They were more simian than human, and it just sort of felt
felt weird to be yucky. Watching. Yeah.
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 We are time cops.
Yes, we're time cops. We're a fan favorite segment on this show.
Yep, and we bust time crimes.
Yeah.
But something else people don't know about us.
Yeah.
Is that we also sell erection pills.
We do, yeah, we sell erection pills. It's
and
called
something
Roebling's
else about
Great
us.
Erection. Jeff and Elmer's Roebling's Great Erection. Yeah, you can
something
buy them
else
gas
about
station.
Us.
Yeah.
Is that we're fashion police.
We're fashion police, yeah, and we will strike you down.
Yeah, we're like fashion mercenaries.
Yeah.
We're like fashion loose cannons.
Being a time cop doesn't pay that much.
No,
so we have to be fashion cops.
While we have to be fashion cops. 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 12 seconds into this film.
Yeah.
There's a funny, like, sort of D-plot.
Yeah.
Where Wolverine is teaching Franklin Bash how to sort of court a woman.
Yes.
In the sort of traditional British manner.
Mm-hmm.
Popular in 1876. And it's really working.
Yeah.
And Franklin Bash gets a date with this girl that he's sort of been into the entire movie.
Right.
And he walks out of his bedroom.
Yeah.
And runs into his sister,
mm-hmm.
Meg Ryan,
mm-hmm.
Famously. And says, I'm getting ready for a date.
Yeah.
She says,
Charlie, you look fantastic.
And he says,
I got a date.
Right.
And he looks fucking terrible.
He looks bad. Yeah.
He looks awful. And to describe his outfit on this audio medium, I think I would say that he was in sort of beach business casual.
Yeah, that's not nice.
He was wearing sort of like a really big Oxford shirt tucked into sort of acid wash jeans.
Does he bloom it out, the shirt, a little bit over the belt?
Yep. And he had like a really wide like business tie on.
Yeah.
And then like sort of a like a pretty casual blazer.
Yeah.
He looked terrible.
That was, for a while in my life, the only thing that I knew how to do until I was about, honestly, 16. It's what? Like, tuck in the shirt and then like
blouse
it out over the belt.
So you have more like freedom of movement, you know?
I don't know why it was, but I was taught to do it. I was told to do it for a school dance. I think it was my cousin was like, you look like shit.
So you have more range of movement, Jack. So you can really get out there and cut a rug.
Yeah. But so I did that, would do that for a while, including on date, like when I would later go on dates. I would be like, well, this is the one thing I've got in my arsenal here is you buy
men's 3XLs just so you can get like extra blouse.
Yeah.
So you have that more material to kind of pull up.
It's called a French tuck. Tan France does it all the time. It actually looks
great. Tan France does it all the time, and it's called a full French tuck.
Yeah, full French tuck. Yeah.
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 Okay, so case closed.
Case closed, yeah. It looks great.
Imagine with me for a moment, Jack. This story, I won't call it a film because we're Jeff and Elmer.
And this is our lives.
From another perspective.
Yeah.
And it's the perspective of Sabretooth.
Sabretooth. What's going on with Sabretooth?
Imagine this story from his perspective. It's a tragedy.
He's committed an act of deep, humiliating self-abnegation. Some men maybe find titillating in ways that I guess I'm just not going to say anything about.
Yeah. And that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
He discovers time travel.
Yeah.
He goes through time.
Yeah.
Sees the biggest erection he's ever seen in his life.
Yes.
Meets his hero,
mm-hmm.
Wolverine.
Yeah, his dad or something from the earlier.
Accidentally pulls him back into the present time.
Yeah.
And then essentially, I think like what he discovers through the course of the film is that he's shattered time.
He's shattered time, yeah.
He has broken time and he needs to, the only way to fix time would be to send Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, back through the time portal.
Yes.
But to do so, he would
otherwise elevators won't have been invented.
Yeah. Does someone start to disappear? No. That was Back to the Future.
Yeah, that was Back to the Future. Yeah, the opposite happens.
Back to the Future.
This is not Back to the Future rules, because like at the end of the film, she gets the VP job at the bankrupt, by which I mean morally bankrupt, marketing agency that she hates working at, and that she thinks she wants that job, and Sabretooth shows her a photo of herself back in the past.
In old time.
In old time me, 18XX. And she's like, how did I get there? I don't remember that. And he's like, you are about to go.
Go to him.
So it's reverse Back to the Future rules.
Yeah. Yeah, to fix time, he needs to destroy the most beautiful romance that history has ever seen. And also lose the gratification of, you know,
the act of personal humiliation that some men find gratifying.
It's pretty tragic.
Yeah.
And he's clearly like a brilliant mind and a tortured soul.
Yeah.
And at one point he is locked in the asylum.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks that he's gone mad.
Yes.
And he needs to get out to save Wolverine and unshatter time.
Yeah.
Undo his mistake and destroy true love.
Yeah.
Maybe the most profound love that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know,
yeah,
the other part of
it. Yeah, and the other part of that.
And he says to Gretchen, his nurse.
Yeah.
Oh, he says, have you ever seen a dog
famous
chase after a rainbow? Or he says,
a rainbow, yeah.
He says, time travel, it's no more crazy
than a dog finding a rainbow.
Right.
Dogs are colorblind, Gretchen.
Yeah.
They don't see color.
Really?
Just like we can't see time. We can feel it. Oh, we can feel it passing, but we can't see it. It's just a blur. It's like we're riding in a supersonic train.
Time cops.
Time cop.
And the world is just blowing by. But imagine if we could stop that train, Gretchen. Huh? Imagine if we could stop that train, get out, look around, and see time for what it really is. A universe, a world, a thing as unimaginable as color to a dog, and as real and tangible as that chair you're sitting in. Now, if we could see it like that, I mean, really look at it, then maybe we could see the flaws as well as the form. And that's it. It's that simple. That's all I discovered. I'm just a guy who saw a crack in a chair that no one else could see. I'm that dog who saw a rainbow. Only none of the other dogs believe me.
Beautiful.
And Gretchen says,
I believe you.
That's beautiful. And lets him go.
And she's cute.
And Jeff?
Yeah.
That speech?
Yeah.
Reminded me why I got into time crimes in the first place.
Because we're the dogs who saw the rainbow. Is that
we're it? The dogs who saw we're the rainbow.
We're the dogs who saw the rainbow.
And Jack?
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff?
Yes.
Why were there still elevators? If elevators at that point in time
didn't exist,
had not existed,
how could they be?
How could, yeah.
And I think Gretchen is the criminal and we should neutralize her, right? Is that where you're going? I don't want
to. I think Gretchen is the criminal and we'll have to neutralize
and
her.
And she's neutralized, and that's another case of time cops closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Choo choo. I forgot that the time cops rode in like a.
I think it's a train. It's a weird train. Yeah. Well, like we'll watch Time Cop maybe for our next one.
Yeah. Is it a romance?
We're going to go. I want to say one brief thing before we do, which is that it's murder to send them back in time. It's murder. They did a murder. It's a murder. Mm. Liv Schreiber murdered his wife and her lover. This is a movie about Liv Schreiber murdering Sabretooth, murdering his wife, his ex-girlfriend and her lover.
Why is it a murder?
Okay, imagine this, Tanner. Let's say that I wanted to murder you, and I also had the power of sending people back in time.
Yeah.
What would be a good way to murder you? Send you back in time so you have been dead for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
It's a murder.
Wow, open and shut.
Yeah.
Who are you? Who's this guy saying that? That's Stuart? That's Sabretooth?
No, I think we need a Moriarty for Jeff and Elmer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you and I are already Jeff and Elmer, so...
Yeah, we'll figure
and
it out.
And I'm already Arbiter Tanner, too, so yeah, I'm not taking on any more character work right now.
Yeah. We'll
but
figure it out.
You're welcome to figure out who the Moriarty is.
It's a murder. It's a murder. It's a murder.
Yeah, it's murder.
It's murder. This is a movie about a brutal murder. It's about a jilted
time crime.
Ex-boyfriend who murders his former girlfriend for daring to take a lover.
Yeah.
She's been dead, and he murders her so bad, she's been dead for like 200 years.
Right. She's the one who's probably going to catch like polio.
Yeah. Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what a bad idea all this is.
It's a sweet
hell
film.
Of a film. You guys gotta watch it. It's actually genuinely pretty a good movie.
I liked it so much. I watched it in the throes of Podcast Mania, but I texted
I did
my
too.
Wife
yeah.
who was quarantining separate from me, and I said you should watch this just for fun. And,
yeah.
and she did, and I think she liked it. I'd like to thank you, Elmer. It's still us, right? It's still
Elmer Megabyte. Elmer. Yeah, Time Cop. I think we did jump back, but we can kind of come and go as we please.
I'd like to thank you for bearing with me so much this
we
week.
Do the yelling, the like, we do that as a courtesy more than anything.
Yeah, that's mostly what we do.
Yeah.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation and the Baby Bees and the Baby Boys and the Baby Girls and the Bed Pots and the Sex Bugs so very much for bearing with us this week. We do love and kiss you all the time and every day and all throughout every single day. I would like to say everyone has to join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Get in there. Get in the comments. Everyone's having a nice time in there. Everyone is nice. I would like to say you must go to our live show, which is on July 2nd at Caveat in New York. Just fucking figure it out. Go to Caveat's website and figure it out.
bit.ly/BSCC live July 2.
We're talking about the Babysitter's Club book. And it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I would like to say everyone must subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We're talking about the TGIF shows and we're having a blast in there. And it's also a good way to support us and keep us alive and keep us going. It's only $5 a month. And this show is free, but it's paid for by all of the loyal Patreon supporters. So thank you so much to all those Patreon supporters. And why don't you become one if you're not?
Okay, I am.
Okay, and you can also support our show by going to bit.ly/rattlesnakejake and throwing us a few dollars for the hard work that we do here, traveling through time and space to talk about romance movies.
Yeah, taking on all this character work.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a movie. That movie was, of course, called Kate and Leopold. I've got three suggestions for you next week, Tanner.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Mm.
Number one, I brought up, don't say anything until I get to the end.
Yes.
Number one, I brought up last week, and I'm bringing it up again because there was a outpouring of support for this concept in the comments on our Facebook group, which everyone should join, Baby Nation on Facebook. And that film is called While You Were Sleeping. It's about it's another coma movie, but there's no ghosts.
Okay.
With Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Second film that I want to suggest to you is Fire Island. It's a movie that just came out, and it's maybe Jane Austen adjacent, but it's a modern gay romance on Fire Island that is based on, I think, Pride and Prejudice, I think.
Okay.
And everybody likes it. Film number three, The Bodyguard.
Let's go gay, baby. Fire Island.
It's Fire Island next week.
We haven't done
everybody
gay media in a while.
And it's a new one. It just came out. It's on my list. It looks like it's tons of fun, and it's highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Elmer Megabyte.
And I hope that you find your Hugh Jackman-y ever after. We might be childhood friends.